You got point number one there, God's mystery gospel. The Greek word for mystery is mysterion, and it means secret. It means a concealed or secret gospel. And here in Ephesians 3, 1 to 4, and verse 11, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." See, Paul elsewhere calls himself the apostle to the Gentiles repeatedly. "If you have heard of the dispensation of grace, of the grace of God," and by the way, grace is simply Christ. And the word dispensation there is oikonomia, and it means the administration. In the sense that dispensation and administration don't just mean a piece of time, it means what God is dispensing, dispensation. Just like a pharmacist dispenses or administers a medication, this is Paul's message that he is given to dispense and administer to the Gentiles. Okay? That's what he's talking about here. "Which was given to me," that's to Paul, "you word," that's for you. "How that by revelation he," that is Jesus Christ, "made known unto me the mystery," or the secret, "as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby you may read and may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Now, I was raised in a Catholic church, and there were a lot of mysteries, but nobody ever explained those to me. I never understood those. But this mystery God has revealed to me, and it's a secret gospel. And God had kept secret since before the world began. This is just a mind blower. Can you imagine that? There's a legitimate mystery and a legitimate secret that we're talking about here. In fact, point two tells you the mystery gospel was kept secret since the world began, and it was even kept secret by Jesus. What do you mean, Arch? Didn't Jesus come and bring the gospel? Not the one that we live under today. There's a mind blower. In fact, remember what Jesus said in John 16:12? He says, "I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear or receive them now." 16:13, "Howbeit when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." 16:15, "He shall take of mine concerning me and show it unto you." And Paul says, well, that's just to show you that Jesus had something to say that he couldn't speak of. And he had to preserve the mystery or the secret gospel. And we'll see as this develops why the secret had to be kept. It's very important to be kept a secret. Nobody, not a single person, had ever known this mystery gospel until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul, who got saved 9 years after the cross. Can you imagine that? By the way, the chapters in the book of Acts kind of go along with the years. Chapter 8 is around 8 years after the cross. Chapter 9 is about 9 years after the cross. Just to let you know. Anyhow, let's read what Paul says in Romans 16:25. He says, "According to the revelation of the mystery, which has what? Kept secret since the world began." How long has it been kept secret? Since the world began. So it was kept secret from the prophets, from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, everybody. John the Baptist didn't even know it. Jesus knew it, but didn't speak it. Next verse, 1 Corinthians 2:7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom," the word hidden means concealed wisdom, "which God ordained before the world unto" what? "Our glory." Now, our glory means it has something to do with us. The word glory means expression. Isn't glory kind of a nebulous word to us? We don't really kind of get that. It just means expression. In other words, the glory of the life that's in a seed of a flower is the expression of it by the blossoming of the flower. This mystery is related to our glory. It's to our expression of Christ's life. And you'll see how it is. Colossians 1:26a says, "The mystery," this again is Paul, "which has been hidden," kept concealed, "from ages and from generations." So I trust by now we're convinced that this mystery is truly a secret. Point three, it was first received by Paul from Christ, and Paul calls it the secret gospel, my gospel. Boy, that's a bold statement, huh? Either he was an egotist, or a liar, but Paul was saying the truth. Now, since the canon of Scripture contains 14 books of the Bible written by Paul, I tend to think he must have been saying the truth. He says things in Acts 9:15, when Paul was converted, it says, do you remember Paul was struck blind on the road to Damascus? And God spoke to Ananias to go and find this Paul and take him to the street, so on and so forth. Took him to a place, and he told him that, and this is what he said to him. He says, about Paul, he says, he, Paul, is a chosen, that means divinely selected, vessel unto me to bear my name, and the word name there means authority. So Paul was chosen to bear the authority of God. Sure, he's the apostle, the, not one of the apostles, he's the apostle to the Gentiles. He repeats that several times. Galatians 1:12, Paul says this about the gospel. He says, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. So he didn't go up to Jerusalem. You remember that when he was converted, he didn't go see the brothers in Jerusalem.
Right.
He didn't go see Peter and James and John.
Right.
They didn't know the gospel anyhow. They had the message of the kingdom that the Messiah was coming, but they didn't know this gospel of the cross of Christ and the blood and the resurrection and the life-giving spirit coming to live in you. They didn't know that. Their message concerned the message that Jesus had. The kingdom of God was at hand for the Jews. In fact, Jesus told them in Matthew 10:5-6 to the Jews, he says, go not into the way of the Gentiles, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When he said go into all the world and preach the gospel, it was the gospel of the messianic kingdom to come to the Jews, and he tell him to go into the world and find all the lost sheep of the house of Israel who were then dispersed and scattered through the whole world. He wasn't saying go into the Gentiles, because he made it clear, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, go not into the way of the Gentiles. So, Paul says he received it neither of man, not of man. Nobody taught this to him. He received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ, he says. Right on, direct. And so then, in Romans 16:25, he says, now to him that is a power to establish you according to what?
My gospel.
And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. In other words, according to the revelation of the secret gospel. The secret gospel, which has been kept secret since the world began. And it's pretty consistent, isn't it? We've seen this over and over and over. In Romans 2:16, Paul says this. He says, God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to
my gospel.
1 Corinthians 14:37, Paul says this. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are what? Holy mackerel. This guy's pretty bold. Huh? He's either got it or he's lying. And I don't think he was lying. So, at point four here, Paul says, any other gospel is to be accursed. And the word accursed means, it was a Greek word, anathema, and it means banned. You need to ban any other gospel. The gospel for the king of the kingdom, the messianic kingdom coming to you, has nothing to do with you. You can banish it from your relationship with God. There's nothing to do with that. You have no part in the kingdom that's coming to the earth. Let me ask you a question. Whose prayer is it, the Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name? That's a Jewish prayer. Because it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. We're not an earthly people, for we're seated in heavenly places.
Amen.
See? You remember when God called Abraham, he told him, he says, and thy seed shall be as the sands of the seashore and as the stars of heaven. Those are two different things. They're not the same thing. Because where are the sands of the seashore? They're on the earth. So there's a seed that's going to have a kingdom on the earth. But there's another people that are going to come out of the seed of Abraham through the lineage of Abraham to Jesus Christ himself, and they will be the stars of heaven, and that's the church which is his body. Okay? And so out of Abraham comes an earthly expression of Christ and a heavenly expression of Christ. He has the Jews and their millennial reign on the earth, and they will rule the nations and be a blessing to all the nations as God has promised, and yet he has a heavenly seed, which is us, the church. The church which is his body, Ephesians 1, 22 and 21 and 22. The church, comma, which is his body. That's what we are. We're not the bride. The Jews are the bride. We are the church. We're his body. What is closer to Christ? A bride, your bride, or your own body? We're a body. We're part of him. Okay? So that's the relationship that we have. Anyhow, this other gospel, he says in Galatians 1, 8, 9, he says, but though we, an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, that other than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, or banned, anathema. As we said before, and now say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. Because it's not the truth. This is the truth of the gospel. Now, how is it, here it is in point number 5, Paul tells us in the most succinct and clear words what the mystery gospel is. Here Paul reveals the mystery, the secret gospel, and he says in Colossians 1:26 to 1:28, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and generations, here it is again, it's the hidden secret, but now is made manifest to his saints, that's you and me, the believers, right? Okay? To whom God would make known, that's to us, make known to us, what are the riches of the glory or the expression of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, read it. There it is. There's the mystery in a nutshell. Now, by the way, it was known in Ezekiel that God would put, he says, I will put my spirit in you and walk in you. That's to the Jews. But the Gentiles had never been cut in on the action. The mystery gospel is by the indwelling Christ, Christ would come to live in Gentile believers. That's us. Okay? And that a believing Jew this way would also be part of one body, the church which is his body. And so the mystery is that the whole of humanity has a piece of the action if they will simply receive Christ and have Christ come into them. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
The sons of God. I don't know about you, but the only way I could be the son of Joseph McCursey was to be born of his seed. His sperm was put into my mother, and I was born. And I'm a son of God because God's seed, which is Jesus Christ, the sperm of the Father, has come and been put into the womb of my spirit, and I have been born of the seed of God. I've been regenerated, but I have been born of another life, God's life. Literally, the seed, the sperm. Paul tells us in Galatians 3:16, which seed is Christ. Peter says 1:23, for you have been born not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed by the word of God, and that word of God is Christ himself. He is the word. Is it, right? And so Christ is the sperma of the Father. Isn't that offensive to some people to hear that? But think of what it means. It means when Christ came into you, he brought into you the DNA, the very genetics, the spiritual genetics of God himself is in you, with all of the divine life and the divine nature is in your spirit. And you have been filled with the fullness of God because you have Christ in the seed form, and that seed is all of God. Just like an oak tree has the acorn is the whole oak tree. Now it comes into us in seed form. Needs to grow. But you've got the whole thing. You've got Christ in you, the hope of expressing that life. See? You see what I mean? Glory is expression. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have within you the very nature that will ultimately grow up and be fully blossomed and expressed. And the full blossoming expression is going to be your resurrection to a resurrected spiritual body in the heavens forever. That's the full blossoming that's coming. But you have the full seed in you now. You have it all. So there's the mystery. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
I get excited just hearing myself talking about that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, how is it that Christ can be in us? It is as the spirit of life. Not about you, but for a long time in my early Christian life, I kind of sliced and diced God. There was Father, there was the Son, and there was the Holy Spirit. But see, I believe they're one.
Amen.
I believe they're three, and I believe they're one. I can't explain it. But I know one thing, that Christ is now the Spirit, because you read these verses. First of all, let me just set the stage here. We have our famous three circles, right? Spirit. That's your human spirit, wrapped up in a soul, wrapped up in a physical body, and this is the human spirit. Read the next verse there, Zechariah 12:1. We're going to read. It's, thus saith the Lord, which stretch forth the heavens, layeth the foundation of the earth, and what?
Form or spirit of man within him.
So man had a human spirit formed. And think of the context of this verse. He's saying, think about the context, the heavens and the earth, right? If you're going to list all the big things, God is speaking here, he's listing the big stuff, the most important things, right? The heavens and the earth, and would you realize the third thing is the spirit of man within him? Because the heavens are to water the earth, and the earth is for man, because man, by his human spirit, is the exact precise location where God would come to dwell in his temple. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where is he? He's in your human spirit. And he that is joined unto the Lord now is one spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:17. So, and just to bear this out, I want to read a few more verses. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit. Who's the Lord? It's Christ. He's the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45, it talks about the first Adam was made a living soul, but the last Adam was made, the word made means became, by the way, became a quickening or life-giving spirit. So Christ is now the Spirit. Do you see that? Let's read some more. 1 John 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us. Why? Because he has given us what? Of his spirit. And as I said, 1 Corinthians 6:17, and he that is joined unto the Lord now is one spirit, which goes right along with John 3:6 that says, that which is born of the spirit, capital S, see I underlined it, is spirit, small s, your spirit. So Christ rose, as I did last night. Here's the cross, he dies, he rises, and he comes as the life-giving spirit into your spirit, and you are born of the very seed of God, which is a spiritual seed, because God is spirit. By the way, God is not, when it says in John 4:24, it says God is a spirit, the word A is not in the Greek. It says God is spirit. In other words, just like a table could be, or this could be wood, this is wood. God is spirit. He's a spirit being. And that's the reason you had to have a human spirit was because the only way you could relate to God was because he's spirit. See, physically we can shake hands because we got physical bodies. Psychologically, and we have minds, we can communicate in the soul level with our minds. But only spirit can touch spirit. See? And so we have the perfect receptacle that a man was made with the human spirit, to receive the resurrected spirit of Christ to come into us, and we will be joined unto the Lord, and now one spirit. With all of God in you. Think of this. The Creator has put his life in the creature. I mean, can you imagine that? That's unbelievable. God would put his life in the creatures he created and make them his own adopted children. They're by birth and yet they're adopted because they were separated, but they're his now and legitimately his because he put his life in them. See? So we're both adopted and yet birthed at the same time. Birth of God. So Romans 8, 9, and 10. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. So who's in us? The spirit of God. And he says, now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ are the same. And if you went on to read the next verse, and it says, Christ is in you. So the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, and Christ are all one in you. You have it all. You have it all. You see, the point next is very important here, because you might say, why was Christ's indwelling kept secret? What's the big deal? Why did he have to keep it a secret? Why did Jesus keep it a secret? Why did God keep it a secret, this plan that he would put himself into the creature? And this verse, section of verses here, I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 7 and 8, tells us exactly why. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, a secret, but even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. Stop right there. Who are the princes of the world in this case? The princes of this world are the leaders of this world. The religious leaders at that time were the Pharisees, who called for the crucifixion of Christ. They wanted to kill him. And the political leaders, and they consorted together to kill Christ. And the prince of the power of the air led the princes of this world to crucify the Son of God. Okay? So nobody knew it. Nobody knew it. None of the princes of this world knew. And this should also show you that Satan is not all-knowing.
Right.
He did not know this plan. This plan had to be kept secret from Satan, is what we're saying here. Okay? Because God needed Satan's cooperation in the plan of God so this all could happen. Okay? Now it tells you clearly, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, let me just explain that a little bit. What do you mean they wouldn't have crucified the Lord? It means had Satan known that Jesus Christ would be crucified, resurrected as the life-giving seed, to get into every person in this room and millions of people throughout the world, Satan would never have crucified Christ. He would rather have one Jesus walking the streets of Martinsville than a crucified, resurrected Christ as the life-giving spirit living in millions and millions of people. You see? And so we are the birth children, the multiplication of God's family. We're literally his kids, born of his seed, regenerated and saved by his blood, but born of his seed. His life is in us. His very DNA, his genetics spiritually is in our spirit, and we are complete in him. That is the mystery gospel. That is the secret gospel. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I mean, God kept a secret. The shame is the secret is still kept today. I don't know why. I believe that God would open the eyes of any human being who seeks God and wants him. See? But so many don't want God. They want what they can get from God. See? And they want knowledge more than a relationship with God. And so they study their scriptures and are never, ever learning, but never able to come to the truth. He says, in the scriptures, you think you have life, but you will come to me that you might have life. So I love the scriptures. I hope you can see that. Okay? But the scriptures are not life. Christ is the life. The scriptures are not the word. The real word, the living word, is Christ himself, who's come to live in me and you. Right? Praise the Lord. I got excited. Yeah. Okay, that was...